I'm going to actually do something different this morning. I was trying to figure out a way to do this, tie it in with the sermon. It really didn't tie in, so I was just going to preach the sermon and not talk about my sabbatical, maybe do a video or send out an email, but then, you know, the elder suggested I maybe bring it up to the congregation so you guys know what's going on, and we have it, you know, on video where we can share with others. And I've announced it a few times. We've sent out some emails. What is a sabbatical? A sabbatical is when you take a step away from all the duties of the church, all the correspondences, three different Facebook pages, three different websites, Instagram, Podbean, Twitter, constant communication. I'm on go for 10 years now. So a sabbatical is taking a step away from that for a few months and just breathing and renewing and spending time with my family, actually drawing closer to God. And it's most pastors do it after 5 years or 6 years or 7 years. And the elders have been asking me for a couple of years, and we've never been able to do it with staffing needs. And now we're going on 10 years. I've been in ministry for 20. Many of you know I'm managing the radio station, so every time you hear it go out, I'm working with engineers on the East Coast and Spectrum and Verizon and AT&T and other ISP providers trying to get the radio going. So that's been real taxing. It's just a constant grind. So I am going to take a sabbatical, and what that is, it's taking time away from the normal day-to-day duties of the church. Again, the elders have talked about this for a few years. They finally all ganged up on me and said, you need to go. So it was in a good way. And it's probably something I wouldn't do on my own. I don't know how many of you were raised in the World War II generation or maybe 30, 40 years ago. I was raised where, with my dad, we didn't really take days off. Busyness was a good thing, especially when I left 24-hour fitness for good. I had a lot of time built up from sick time and vacation. I never took those. I never, because you're working hard. You're working. The devil doesn't take a day off. And I heard a story about this recently. A man said, the devil doesn't take a day off. Why should I? And the lady said, why is the devil your role model? And so that's how I've always been. In 24-hour fitness, you know, I manage that. In real estate, in construction, it's always go. You don't really, it's for the first time in 30-some years, a couple years ago, I was able to take a few weeks off. I've never been able to do that when we went on family vacation and different things. So that's how I was raised. And it's kind of, as a type A personality and go, it's really hard to kind of do this. But... you know, it's necessary. It's a very good thing. Everyone I talk to agrees. So although this may sound sudden, it's really not. It's something we've been talking about for about 3 years, but the time has never came up. And I was shooting for the summer. Actually, my flesh got in the way because I'm thinking July, beach, great weather. Oh, this is going to fit perfect. But the summer's not going to work because there's a lot of things going on. Plus, we have our annual family vacation where we go to the High Sierra Mountains in August, and that's not really sabbatical. Anyone been on vacation with 5 kids? That's not resting. I came back from our last vacation 4 or 5 pounds less and just exhausted. And so that's a little bit different. Plus, I have had speaking engagements. I've been asked to possibly go to Texas, go to speak engagements in Minnesota. I've got one coming up in Michigan at a big men's conference. God's kind of calling me to what many of you have sensed before, that to get this voice out there, to get the message out there. So we decided that actually February, March is going to be the sabbatical. I want to come back on Easter, but they kind of said, no, you need the 3 months, and everyone kind of pressed that. So I'm planning on February, March, and April, unless God changes that. Now, I know people are, what are we going to do? You know, what does this look like? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to tell you what I think the plan is. But I did want to get that point across. The world says busyness equals success, doesn't it? Fortune 500 companies, CEOs, what I do, I'm busy. I can be busy. I rarely get a day off. I'm busy doing different things. I've got people even outside emailing us, Facebooking, can you visit my grandfather who reads your articles in the paper? He has cancer. He's here locally. Sure, I'll be there. Another person out of the area, go visit them who's dealing with sick. And so it's just constantly go, which I love, which is good, but it can really get a person in an unhealthy state. So I'm not having a burnout. I'm not there yet, but this stuff prevents that from happening. I have pastor friends, one who had to take a year off because of a nervous breakdown. Wayne Kudera in Hawaii went through that. Mark Driscoll, many of you have heard of him. He's a younger pastor. He's my age now, but they've got to a point where it's just they just fry. So part of a sabbatical is you take that rest now because you can't pour out of an empty cup. You have to be filled yourself. And if God did not allow me to take this, I would be fine. I would keep moving forward. And I know I can think of a half dozen people in this church that need this more than I do. I can think of single moms. I can think of moms raising their kids. They have a lot of kids and people just going. And so it's really a privilege and an honor. I don't take it lightly. And I wish I could give it to some people who actually really do need it. So I'm not taking it for granted, but I think it is a good time. Something I haven't shared too much, but I've been so much confirmation, I can't even begin to share with you that even Dr. Michael Brown coming out and different people said that God's going to do something here. God's bringing a sense of revival, of awakening, of restoration. Are you ready? Are you renewed? Are you restored? And so I think it's a season of getting ready for where God is going to take us. Because a pastor carries the weight of the church 24/7. I don't know if you knew that. I mean, you know things going on in your own family, you know, times that by 100. I mean, there's not a week that goes by that I'm not texting someone even out of state that's dying of cancer, or that their husband has left, or they just found out their wife's having an affair, or their kid's suicidal. It's a constant, which is good. I mean, it really begins to wear a person down if they don't take that needed time. So it's a burden that people carry 24/7. We don't know how many people come to this church. We would estimate there's about 1,000 people who call this church their home church. We've got 700 families just in our database, so we don't know how many call us that church. So it does get demanding and taxing. So it is good to take a time off. And many people have weekends off or holidays off, which, you know, usually pastoring, you don't get that. So if you look at how many days a regular person gets off, I think it's 125 days a year if you take in weekends, vacation, you know, holidays. And so sabbatical kind of crams that in into one event. As I mentioned before, all the websites, the Facebook pages, Twitter, Instagram, Podbeam, iTunes, cell phone, 3 different emails. It's just constant communication for me trying to run everything. And many of you don't know, not in addition to the radio station and Facebook and different things, we are the messages are viewed by a lot of pastors, younger pastors across the United States. So I'm constantly reaching out to them, keeping them encouraged. So many of them have smaller churches, and God's really used this to reach people in Canada, the UK. We hear from China, Australia, and so God uses the ministry in that way. So we want to make sure we're stewarding it correctly, and that's why this is not burnout; it's rest. So people have asked, are you okay spiritually, physically, mentally, and emotionally? I am doing very well. I've actually never been better. Our marriage is very healthy. It's good. And that's why you want to take this before you actually really need it. Because by the time you have to have a sabbatical, you're in trouble. So you usually want to take it before that happens. And I've been fighting it ever since, you know, we thought of it, but I think it's good. Again, it was this summer, but we've moved it to February, March, and April. What will I do, you might be asking. And again, I want to get to the sermon because I want to bless you guys with this. I don't want to spend too much time with this, but obviously I'm going to connect with God more. I'm going to disconnect from things that I've been connected to that are good things, but they have been very, you know, time consuming. Connect with my wife and family more, special time with the kids. I'm also going to give Morgan some breaks and watch the kids so she can be refreshed and refueled. You can clap for that one, huh? Okay. So I asked her, what fills you up? What fills you up? Let's get you doing that, and I can watch the kids. I'm really excited about spending time with the kids. Her and the kids will probably come to church now and then, or we'll go to church in Valencia, Santa Clarita. I've got friends at churches I've wanted to visit for 10 years, Ventura, San Diego, L.A. So I'll keep being fed, and I want to kind of come here, but the elders agreed that it's best to just, on a sabbatical, you just take a break. And that's really what this is about. My one dream will probably not come true. What I would like to do, I just don't know if it's going to work. but that would be to fly fish where they filmed A River Runs Through It on the Montana-Wyoming border. And I already know right where it's at. Don't watch the movie, though. It was probably 30 years old. I can't validate the movie, but I remember the Bighorn River and flowing into Idaho and Montana. And so, I don't know. I'm going to pray about that, if I can get up that way. I've got family in Idaho. We've got friends in Texas. And so it's just going to be a time of seeking God, restoring, renewing. We'll see if God wants to end it early. He can. He's in full control. What will the church do? Well, the big thing we came to realize is this church, we have to realize, is not built on a person. It's not built on me. Granted, I recognize that God has given me a unique calling where I motivate and inspire and encourage people, and I love to do that. It's going to be hard not to preach. But we have to remember that this church is built on God's word. God built it. And the early church, I don't know if you know this, but wasn't built from a man on a pulpit preaching. The early church actually got together and they came together around communion. Every week they came and they remembered what Jesus has done. They would read the Psalms. Somebody would give a word from God's word. They would be encouraged. It was a fellowship. That's how the church grew. Now, there's nothing wrong with a pastor preaching. That has developed over the years. That's biblical. But many churches weren't this large. They were smaller home gatherings. And so we have to remember what the church is. It's not coming to listen to a person then going home. The church is actually come together and fellowship and be united and then go back out and do God's work. So funerals and weddings will be handled by the elders, the leadership of this church. Even now, I'm starting to delegate more from the missions teams to weddings, from counseling appointments to coordinating. There's so much that goes behind the scenes that we're actually already starting to delegate that now, because I start to realize my primary calling is preaching and teaching, to spend time with God, to pray, to prepare sermons. And if I'm preparing a Wednesday, a Saturday morning for the men and two services Sunday, that's very taxing. And if I begin to do other things, it begins to take away from my primary calling and gifting there. So that's why we delegate things. So here's what I'm asking. I'm asking that you step up and come to be a blessing. Keep the course, pray, and continue and contend for revival. What happens is usually in August when I take my vacation, we have about a 20-25% drop in attendance. And so we're hoping that doesn't happen, because again, we're coming to hear from God. And I'm excited. I'm actually excited about Wednesday nights. You're going to hear some powerful testimonies from people in this congregation, deacons, some of the elders, where God has moved powerfully in this church. And I'm going to listen. I'm going to be built up and encouraged from these people, because God gifts people to speak into the lives of others. And where I might not be hitting you, someone else can. We have people here who've lost their children. We've had people here who are in very difficult situations where they've had to rely on faith and faith alone, and they're going to invest in you on Wednesday nights. So I would be I'm very encouraged and excited about what we're going to do. It's not just something, oh, let's just throw some people in there. It's well-designed. We're asking certain people. We want them to share certain things. We're going to have even some women sharing their testimony. Donna Thies, Linda Johnson, we've asked, and Yvette is going to share about the upcoming election, so many things. We've got other people sharing, and it's all to edify the body. It's very encouraging in that area. I know it's difficult. You know, people are processing it, but trust me, the church is going to go on when I'm gone, and it's going to continue to go on whether I'm here or not, and we have to just remember that. Also, I encourage you to keep a good attitude on Wednesdays and Sundays. I don't know if I want to share too much here, but something that's kind of hurt a little bit over the last year or so is people will come in, and when they find out I'm not here, I'm not speaking, they won't even come in, they'll just leave. We've had Wednesday nights when people found out I'm not speaking, and they kind of roll their eyes and make, you know, oh, and people hear that. Other people who are speaking hear that, and it really hurts me. But I understand, just to let you know, I do understand. I went and visited a church in Carpinteria, and I've been following him for a long time, Britt Merrick in Reality Church in Carpinteria, and wouldn't you know it, he's on sabbatical. When I go. And his sabbatical was a year, so you should be thankful. what was my point here? Oh, keep a good attitude. Yeah, on Wednesdays and Sundays, people have left when things are not going. And actually, when I went to Carpinteria, I was blessed by that message. And when I go somewhere and I hear just a small country church, when we go on vacation, just small country church, 40 people, and you go wanting to hear from God, you hear from God. It's the preacher wasn't dynamic. He was monotone. The worship, you know, wasn't like what we have here. But if you go wanting to receive from God, God can speak to you in the stillness of the morning. He can speak to you by the words of someone else looking to God's word. So it's all a change of mind. So my prayer, our prayer has been, we want to maintain attendance and giving, even while I'm gone. Dare we say we grow a little? That would hurt, you know. That would hurt my flesh. I'd be like, well, Lord, you really don't need me, do you? So that has been our prayer, and we need you to do that. We need you to step up. We're not just putting on the brakes and stopping. Pastor Abram's been filled with the Spirit of God mightily. The elders are excited. The deacons that are wanting to teach, we're actually looking forward to this. I'm shed some tears this morning, knowing this that might be my last worship morning for a while. My daughter reminded me. She goes, "Dad, you won't be bringing me again for a while." I'm like, "Oh, this is hard." You know, because I want to worship. I want to be part of everything. But I did think of, I don't know if God planted this thought, but maybe I did, is I have a master key and I could sneak up in the balcony during early morning worship and just be a part of that. And I want to encourage you to come to that. 6 a.m. There was 45, 50 people this morning worshiping God. And when you see some people excited during 9 a.m. worship, 9 out of 10 times, it's those who were at early morning worship because God has been dealing with their heart all morning. So it's just an outflow of what's been happening since 6 a.m. So I want to encourage you to do that. Come to the events. Come to the studies. This is church growth 101. This is when a church grows. When those who have been kind of just helping me shepherd, when they have to rise up, and they don't have me scheduling the Wednesdays and the Sundays and the men's and following up on worship team and sound and media and this and setting up this and the flyers and the promotions and they have to step up. This is where a church grows. And we're asking that many of you step up as well. And also, I'm going to close with this. Is God preparing Westside Christian Fellowship for something? I think so. I don't know what that looks like. I know I might be gone a lot. That doesn't mean I'm moving. I have no plans of that. I plan on, you know, living here and dying here if that's what God has. We love it here. We're not afraid of California. We don't have a bad mood about California. We don't get disgruntled. We don't like a lot of things, but we want to fight and change those things. Now, granted, I'm not saying that if people need to leave and they fear certain things, you know, that's their own prerogative. And it is okay to search for a better life for your kids and family. I got it. But you better make sure you go for the right motives, for the right reasons. Not move out of fear alone. And like, I love how what Gabe said during worship, if we're listening to the news long enough, we're going to become fearful. So is God preparing Westside for something? Maybe he's preparing for me to travel more. And then we have to have people kind of pick up the slack a little bit. The ironic thing is I don't like to travel. Airplanes, not me. 17,000 pounds of steel in the air, I still don't know how that works. And so every time it takes off, I just put on worship. Okay, Lord, I can't have a spirit of fear. Get me there. So, and I don't like being in a hotel away from my family. I don't like traveling. But if God, you know, calls me to do that more, and to, because people are saying we need you to come out and give that to Minnesota, Michigan, Texas. They want to bring that to different areas of the United States. So that this could be part of that plan. And then finally, I want to encourage you to come to this Wednesday night. I'm actually going to finish up in Corinthians this Wednesday night. I was going to be in Psalm 10, but I want to finish up the book of Corinthians. I'm a little, weird about that. I want to leave one chapter left, you know, before I go. I want to finish up Corinthians. So I'm going to be in 1 Corinthians right now, again, chapters 12, 13, and 14. I'm not going to do a long message, but I just want to share that with you publicly to the congregation. It's not sudden. There's nothing wrong. It's been something we've talked about for a while, but it just seems like, you know, now's the time to do it. If not now, I don't think it's going to happen. So I will be here all this week. If you need anything, let me know. I'd love to help out and pray with you and be available. But that's when it's going to start as of February 1st. I wanted to kind of come to church here a little bit, but they all agreed, the elder leadership team agreed that it's probably best to just sabbatical. Take a break. So I've got churches I want to visit in Valencia and Ventura, friends of mine down in LA or San Diego. So we'll still be going to church. We'll still be built up in God's word and spending a lot of time with him.